Chapter 30. After the two Maxalks were buried in space, we continued flying toward the edge of the dampened field at a slow but steady rate of acceleration. Skippy did not want to strain our new used reactor or our new used normal space drive system, and I wanted us to get the hell out of the Roach Motel as fast as possible, so we compromised by running the drive at only 12% of full power. Even at full power and without the lifeboat and starship docking platforms making the ship lighter, the new Frankenstein version of the Flying Dutchman was significantly slower than it had been before we lost the original engineering section. Our gentle rate of acceleration would be barely enough for us to feel, even if the artificial gravity system had not been compensating. But our acceleration was constant, for months. We built up a lot of speed, faster than starships normally traveled through space. With the ability to jump instantaneously from one spot to another, starships did not need to travel quickly through normal space, except for high-speed maneuvering and combat. Because combat engagements tended to be short, the high-G burns of ships did not go on long enough for ships to acquire a lot of speed. So, as we approached the vaguely defined edge of the dampen field, the Flying Dutchman was traveling much faster than the ship probably ever had. It might have been the fastest any ship in the galaxy had traveled in a very long time. Such speed sounds like it should have been a point of pride for the merry band of pirates, but it was actually a problem. Several problems, to be accurate. First, after we jumped away from the Roach Motel, we would need to reduce our speed or we would zip helplessly past any planet, relay station, or whatever other object we may need to rendezvous with. Matching speeds with any object was always a tricky navigational exercise, but we were helped by the fact that most star systems in the local sector of the Orion Arm were rotating around the center of the Milky Way galaxy at roughly a 500,000 miles an hour and rotating in roughly the same direction. I said roughly, okay, so don't geek out on me and do the math yourself because no one cares. Anyway, when we traveled between star systems, we could count on our destination star system having a roughly similar course and speed as the star system we departed from. We only needed to adjust for the speed and direction of the planet, moon, or other object we wished to rendezvous with in the destination star system. We were now moving so fast that once we jumped away from the Roach Motel, we would need to push our delicate normal space propulsion system hard to slow down and hope we didn't break anything critical in the process. That was the first problem, a problem we didn't need to deal with until after we could say a joyous goodbye to the Roach Motel. The second problem was a danger to us as we zoomed through space. At our speed, a small rock could punch through the Dutchman nose to tail if our defense shields failed even for a moment. The high-speed impact of stray hydrogen atoms made the forward shield glow with hard radiation like X-rays. While I did know the supposedly empty vacuum of space was in fact filled with atoms and fine dust, especially so deep within the solar wind of a star, I had no idea the cloud of particles was so thick. Looking at particles slamming into our forward shields, I felt like the ship was flying through a sandstorm. For certain, if we encountered a problem that required people going outside the ship, they could not survive unless the defense shields were operating at full strength. Anyway, our shields did protect us, and all our cobbled-together components worked well enough during our long voyage to the edge of the damping field. As we got farther from the star, Skippy was able to create a map of the damping field, and we adjusted course to escape from the field a couple hours earlier than expected. The main reactor once had to be shut down for 3 heart-stopping hours, forcing us to cut thrust so the backup reactor could provide power to life support and shields. Other than that one problem with the main reactor, we had nothing worse than minor glitches. Skippy had done a truly awesome job of building a working starship from a pile of junkyard parts, and after him hinting over and over that he was desperate for praise, I grudgingly acknowledged that although I was bitterly disappointed he hadn't been able to build a Hot Rod Max Hulk's battleship for us, he had done okay. Skippy's ego is massive enough already. It is good to take him down a peg once in a while. Anyway, he knows how awesome he is. The last week, days, and hours as we approached the edge of the dampen field were filled with increasing tension. Everyone aboard was waiting for karma to bitch-slap us, specifically me. Skippy didn't make things easier on me. Joe, his avatar said as it appeared on my office desktop. Only a few hours left now, huh? Yeah, I answered warily. You don't sound entirely happy about it. I have mixed feelings, I wish we weren't leaving so soon. This is a hell of a time to tell me, Skippy. I know. He sounded genuinely chastened. As Avatar took off the ridiculously oversized Admiral's hat and pretended to scratch his head before putting the hat back on. I just can't help it. Please explain, why do you not want to get out of here as soon as possible? No one has ever escaped from the Roach Motel before. I thought you would be proud of that. I am proud of that, Joe. It is yet another example of my continued awesomeness. The reason I have mixed feelings is, well, I feel like we will be leaving behind a lot of unanswered questions. Coming here could have been an opportunity to get answers to who I am and what happened to me, and about what happened to elder sites across the galaxy. I have more data, but I also have more questions than before we jumped in here. Crap. The last thing I needed, just as we were about to jump away from the most secure prison in the galaxy, was a reluctant AI controlling our ship. Skippy, listen. You have all that new data. Maybe there's some new information out there in the galaxy beyond this system that will help you make sense of what you already know. And hey, we can always come back here later, right? No, we can't, Joe. The Guardians are frantic now as we approach the edge of the damping field. Don't worry, they aren't going to stop us. But if we try to jump in again, they aren't going to buy my line of bullshit a second time. We can't come back here, and they are going to be much more thorough in the future about destroying any ships that do jump in. They are surprised and unhappy that a Maxalt's ship they thought was a derelict was able to power up and fly. As soon as we jump away, I suspect the Guardians will tear all the hulks in the junkyard into tiny pieces. They are not taking any more risks. Also, they are very likely to bombard the Theranin on Gingerbread and wipe them out of existence. What I instinctively wanted to say was those Theranin getting blasted from orbit was nothing but good for us, but I couldn't. Despite everything I knew about those little green MFers, I felt sorry for the group stranded on Gingerbread. Sure, when they jumped into the Roach Motel, they had unquestionably been hateful fanatics seeking technology they could use to destroy their enemies, and everyone else in the galaxy. But Romeo and Juliet showed us some of those Theranin were different, and I sort of regretted not bringing some of them aboard. Yes, it would have been impractical to allow Theranin, even young non-cyborg Theranin, onto our ship. For security, we would have had to keep them locked up, or at least restricted them to certain areas of the ship with bots following them everywhere. What kind of life was that? And if we dropped them off at Earth, they would be prisoners for the rest of their lives. Now I had to accept that Theranin on Gingerbread could not offer us any advantage in our struggle to survive, and if I simply wanted to rescue people, there were many deserving beings in the galaxy. All right, so we can't come back that you know of. We've done a lot of stuff you thought was impossible, Skippy. Don't give up now. He sighed. You're right. Again. If you tell anyone I said that, I will deny the whole thing. This is one of a very few places in the galaxy known to have active Elder technology, and the Roach Motel is almost the easiest one for us to access. Can you promise me that if I ever do need to come back here, you will use that disorganized blob of mush in your skull to dream up a way for us to survive jumping back in? Well, since you put it so nicely, Skippy, I rolled my eyes. It's a deal. We reached the edge of the damping field, or close enough because Skippy reported he might have been wrong and the Guardians could be getting ready to stop us. So we jumped before we were actually clear of the damping effect, but the field was weak enough that we only blew 12 drive coils. Fortunately, we had plenty of jump drive coils. Unfortunately, the ones that blew were the ones Skippy had selected as most reliable, considering they were ancient and we had salvaged them from a space junkyard. Whatever. We jumped away. We escaped from the Roach Motel. Something no ship had ever done. Gunnery Sergeant Adams expressed the crew's sentiment best when she said, "Monkeys kick ass!" A second jump, after a thorough, painstaking inspection of every system aboard the ship, took us a distance Skippy considered to be safely away from the Guardians, and then we set course for the closest wormhole. We jumped slowly and carefully but steadily, and fired up the normal space engines while the jump drive capacitors were charging. We had a lot of built-up velocity to kill, so we punched up three-quarters thrust whenever we could. Our first priority was to learn what the hell had been going on in the galaxy while we were trapped in the Roach Motel. To do that, Skippy recommended we contact an old Kristang data relay station outside a star system controlled by the Black Trees clan, or it used to be controlled by the Black Trees. With the civil war we had started hopefully still raging, the Black Trees might be shattered into pieces, or they could have made alliances and be even stronger. We didn't know, and we needed to know. The possibility that the Civil War had quickly run its course while we were trapped in the Roach Motel was the only dark cloud affecting the otherwise triumphant mood of the crew. Sure, our second-hand ship might fall apart at any moment, and we were starting to run low on our favorite foods, but Skippy was restored to full awesomeness, and we had a functioning starship. We had been away for so long, there was no way the Theranin could still be hunting for us. I was hoping that with all the problems the Theranin had after getting thrashed by the Giraptha, they had forgotten all about a mysterious ship.